Well, welcome to the Bemidji State football signing class here in 26. Quite the list, but we're excited about the kids that we're able to bring in. Kind of take a step back and just look at the approach. You can see, again, we're trying to win in our footprint, like Minnesota, Wisconsin. I would say the Dakotas, Iowa, Illinois is where you're going to see most of our kids coming from traditionally. And then you see some different states that popped up this year with, you know, I'd say, I don't know if I've ever taken a kid from, you know, New Mexico, or really, I don't know how many Florida kids we've had over the years. And then we have two that popped up here. But I think the coaches just look back and we're like, what do we need to address? A number one, with the depth within the program. And then secondly, just, you know, coming off a year that was a little frustrating to say the least, especially after the previous 4 years, just getting back to the basics, recruiting families that want to be in Bemidji. I think that's a big part of college football these days, is that kids are innately just jumping ship to ship, to house and all that sort of stuff. And during the recruiting process, like, hey, we want kids to be here for 4 or 5 years and understand, be happy where your feet are and just understand that process. And I think these parents bought into that. I think they want that for their kids. There's still people that don't want to be in the circus, the Division I side of stuff with the portal and everything going on. but it's exciting that way. So it was unique, and I think our coaches did a really good job of addressing what we needed to address. And obviously I always start with big guys in the offensive and defensive lines has been something that's been important. But certainly the back secondary on defense was really hit hard as well. So I'm going to address each area, and we'll just continue to move through it just like in the release and do a better job of doing that. So I'm going to go over the defensive backs first. The first one is going to be Keelan Allen from Merrill, Wisconsin. He's the all-conference kid at receiver and defensive back. And I think another thing that's very unique about these classes in general, this class in general, just how many multiple sport athletes that you're going to see. There are all state in football, or all conference in wrestling, baseball, football. We have a lacrosse kid on there, a kid that played rugby, just a lot of uniqueness that way. And really great in the classroom for the most part as well. But Keelan is a kid that we project on the defensive side of the ball. I think he could go over and play on the offensive side of the ball as well. We had, if you guys remember, Jake, I think it was, I'm drawing a blank, Jake Anderson, one of our receivers back in the day. He was also from Merrill. So it was unique kind of a tie there. But this kid, I think, again, can play, you know, multiple spots in the secondary. You know, whether we start him at nickel or if we start him at safety or corner, I think he just has unique skills to go out and be able to cover. And that's really kind of resounding theme within the secondary. We're excited about having Keelan with us. Jace Bellamy, our lone recruit from Iowa, is from Winterset, Iowa, just kind of in the Des Moines area. Some unique ties there. My sister-in-law is actually a speech pathologist down in Iowa, and we were up. His mom's a speech pathologist, so there's some ties there. They work together or know each other. But Jace is a really good football player. He's a two-time All-State player in the secondary, was part of the Iowa Elite team member as well, was All-State in track. He reminds me of my son a little bit, just watching him play, probably because he's number 24 in high school, and Caden's been doing that for a while. But just instinctual. I think he's a really smart. You can tell he's a smart football player on the field. But a kid that I'm really excited about, you look at all the career tackles and you look at all the 13 interceptions, he had the touchdowns and tackles for loss. Just, again, a kid that we project that can cover, maybe like our hawk or field side safety, but is willing to blitz and be able to be in the box. So Jace is an outstanding kid and outstanding family, so we're excited about having him here. Dipping down, like I mentioned before, down in New Mexico, Cardenio Chavez from Grants High School. And again, a kid that was all state or all conference in multiple things. He was a state participant in track as well, but all district in as a defensive back, a receiver, as a kick returner. But again, a little bit more length than what we've had at corner in the past. So we're excited about him, just his frame and his movement, which would be fun. And so I think he'll be able to fill out and be 185, 190 pound corner for us in this league. You need to have big bodies, even at corner, get bigger ones. There's been some years we had some, you know, Smurfs, if you will, out there trying to cover, which is hard. But having some length out there would certainly be nice. So excited about having him and his family coming up all the way from New Mexico, which, again, kind of a new one for us. Another guy from a little bit further south and typically where we reach into is Kamari DeBose. He's from Hawthorne High School, where they came off of winning a state championship. Again, put a lot of emphasis in this class of guys that – you know, win. I hate to steal a Sioux Falls phrase, but winners win. I think it's a little bit some truth to that, where it's addictive, and you know how to get things done when the lights get bright. So again, excited about his length. He's a 6'2" plus corner for us. Again, a kid that will fill out in the weight room and probably be 190, 185 pounds. But he's all area, going against certainly some great caliber competition down in Florida. So really excited about having Kamari and his family on board. Next, we dipped down in Wisconsin, were able to jump on Nico Holtzman to jump in with our recruiting class here. He's an all-conference again, defensive back and receiver. Probably could play receiver pretty easily in college. I'd say the uniqueness about him is, again, the position flexibility within the defense. I think he could play safety, he could play corner, he could play nick depending on his coverage skills, but he has a really nice frame. I'm sure he'll be a 200-pound guy as he goes through. He's probably closer to 6'2". So, again, Nico, great family, and really have some high expectations for him. Jumping down a little again, down in the south, kind of a similar theme with some of the DBs that we've been able to get. I thought Coach Shevin Smith, our corners coach, did an outstanding job recruiting for us along with Coach Ford. But he went down and got David Osei from Rock Hill High School in Frisco, Texas. Has to be one of the few times I've ever had this kind of written up, but he didn't give up a touchdown his senior year. Again, really good competition in Texas. Seen a lot of skilled kids run around. But his dad and him came up. His dad's an awesome dude and just a guy that I think he's just a winner overall. So excited about having David come up and provide a lot of depth, again, back within the secondary. And then the last one on the list for the DBs is Tyler Pankinen from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Washington High School. Again, first-team All-State kid down there as a defensive back. Very smart kid. Again, not to bring up my own son too much, but he kind of reached out to my kid during the recruiting process, you know, about, you know, getting into medical school and how that track would go. So there's some similarities there. And just a kid that he's a winner. You watch him play, he flies around, he's reckless with his body. He's not afraid to put his face on people. You look at all the interceptions and the career tackles. Just the kid that I have a high expectation for. I'm guessing he'll land somewhere in the back half with the safety group. But again, he has corner skills. He might play nickel. So really excited about having him. So a larger group. That's a 24% of our class was in the back half. But I think it's just something that we needed to address and make sure that we're able to bring some depth back in here and be able to play nickel packages and dime packages, and just continue to recruit that way. Jumping down the defensive line, one of the guys that jumped on early within the process was Mason Black. He's from Waukesha West High School. He was a multiple-year all-conference player for him. A ton of career, tackles. He had 170. He had, 30 tackles for loss. He was double digits, I think, in sacks as well. Unique one, too, because you don't get a lot of kids from probably Waukesha, Wisconsin, that are 4-H club members, but his mom, I'm going to screw this up, but I think she helps run, or maybe runs, like the number one for the Wisconsin State Fair. So Schulte, you'd be excited about meeting her and the cheese curds and everything else. But unique family, great people. I'm excited about him. Just a big frame, 6'4", 6'5", whatever it is, 230 pounds, and he's going to be able to fill out and be a big, strong side defensive end for us. Next, Coach Mulberg down at Moundsview High School down in the Twin Cities. We got Robert Essie. Robert's just a big, strong, physical kid. We wanted to bring some, size back within the trenches, particularly the interior guys on the defensive line. So Robert does that. He was all-conference kid for Moundsview, like I mentioned, in football. He was also an all-state wrestler. I walked in. I got to meet his mom and the coach, and his younger brother was there as well. So I'm guessing his younger brother is also going to tussle around Robert in the weight room or in the on the wrestling mat as well. Another big, strong kid, but a great kid, great family, and Coach Mulberg, I appreciate him helping out along the way. Moving to a couple more local guys as we look through this stuff, or Minnesota guys, is Albert Carpe. Albert is just down the road at Brainerd High School. I say down the road, just a couple hours away. He's an all-district player for him. team captain for football and track. I love it when kids, you know, they are up for our team camp. So I love it when they put on things like this. You know, one of his most memorable moments of high school is winning the War on the Shore and jumping in Lake Bemidji. So Coach Freed, if you're listening, get your butt back up to team camp and bring the Warriors back up. But again, I'd say Albert just reminds me a little bit of some of you guys been around. Zolly Kaplan was an All-American, All-Region, DN, Rush, Buck for us. And kind of the same kid, like really athletic, played multiple positions, twitched up. So we'll see where he ends up. But he had 20-plus sacks in high school, and we're going to play him kind of that rush buck position as we look at it. The next one on here is a young man from Caledonia High School, legendary coach down there, Coach Frichte, who's been, gosh, doing it for decades and decades and decades. It's kicked out some really great players and have a really great brand of football down there. But Maddox was a participant in state basketball and football forum. He missed his junior year. He had an injury, came back strong his senior year. His dad has also played here with Beaver football back in the day. So excited about having Maddox here again. Another 6'3", 6'4 kid. He's played all over the field down there. You know he's been coached well and have really good high expectations for him, a good young man. So that wraps up the defensive line, those four guys. Jumping into the offensive side of the stuff, fullback, which the last name maybe is a little bit familiar, but Jack Carlson from Goodhue High School down in the southern part of the state. His cousin, Blake, is actually a starting offensive lineman for us this past year for us and been a really great player for us. But as a kid, in terms of Jack, going back, we got to see him at some camps. We watched his film. And if you guys watch this kid, like, he puts his face on people. He's physical. He's violent. He's in, you know, All-State. He was in the All-Star game for the, I believe it was the South, actually, or should have been for Coach down there. And they've done a really good job. Goodhue was all the way into the state championship game this year. They were runners-up, I think, in wrestling the year before as well, which he was on that team. But, man, he put up, you know, 43 touchdowns over his career, you know, over 1,500 yards. Just a big, strong, physical kid who's going to play fullback for us. Could see him maybe doing some goal line reps at running back. We'll see where it leads. But a kid that really fits in with us, who plays a lot of fullback, one of the few places that probably still puts a lot of emphasis on that. Next guy on here is Kyle Nadler. And Kyle is a kicker and a punter from Yorkville down in Illinois. And again, we don't usually give these guys as their moments as much as they usually or probably need. But again, all-conference kid. He punted extremely well. He averaged over 43.5 yards for punts this last year, almost all. I think he was in the 90% for kickoffs. And with Mantelli graduating, I can see Kyle come in and pushing for a starting position next year, to be honest with you. Really highly rated through his different camps and his different people that he's worked through. Didn't get a lot of chances to kick in high school in terms of field goals, but he's very good at it, has a very, very strong leg. So a kid, probably everybody asks when you go through stuff, like who's going to be an immediate guy that can come in and play. Kyle's going to be one of those guys, for sure. Kicking over the defensive side of the ball, going back to linebackers, we got Jackson Koss from Buffalo High School. Coach Litterer down there has done a really good job. They've had a ton of talent. I saw a graphic, you know, showing all their players that have gone all over the place for Division I, Division II, FCS football. And we're excited to have Jackson be part of it. He's an all-district player at both receiver and kick returner, but he has such a great frame. Coach Chev saw him over at NDSU camp. And we're like, this kid's got to be able to play somewhere. And it's a little bit of a projection, but he's a great athlete. He looks like a linebacker. I wouldn't want to, in high school, you know, there's not a lot of 6'2", 215-pound receivers running around, which I'm sure was a nightmare for some of those little DBs in high school. But I'm excited. I'm excited about watching him grow and develop into a linebacker here. So next on the list is Keegan Grube from Annandale High School. Coach Walter and the group down there did an awesome job. They're the state champions this year, which, again, kind of, again, a theme of guys going deep in the playoffs, winning state championships. But Keegan was all-district, all-conference, and most valuable player for Annandale on the defensive side of the ball, or all-district, most valuable linebacker as well. And the more you watch him, he's just kind of a throwback kid. He might not be the tallest, he might not be the biggest, but he's ultra productive and has a high motor. And those kids usually come in here and do extremely well. Reminds me of some of the guys, like a little bit like Ty Gooden. Like, Ty was really undersized out of high school, and Keegan's a little bit bigger than that. But the kid just has a motor and just finds a way to make plays. So I'm excited about him. And again, the winning goes a long ways and understanding football. And coach has done a wonderful job there with their program down in Annandale. Kicking over to another extremely big group, not just in numbers on the list itself, but just bodies. I'm really excited about this group. You guys have heard this over and over, big people, big bodies beat up on little bodies. And I think Coach Labatt did a wonderful job addressing, number one, the body types that we want. I'm not necessarily taking every 6'7 kids. I want kids that can actually play football. I don't need every project known to man. I'll take a bunch of 6'1", 6'2 kids. But we really did well. I think we got length in this class and a lot of physicality and violence out of that group. And it starts right off the top with a kid that I think he was one of our first commits out of the group on the O-line, Mitchell Bader. Participates. He was, you know, went to state in wrestling. Obviously, was a captain, all conference offensive defensive lineman. He's the conference for the offensive lineman of the year, team captain. Like I already mentioned, all state in the state of Wisconsin down at Kewanee High School. And I expect Mitch to be able to come in and be a tackle body, 6'4", 280-ish right now. Doesn't have a lot of size that he necessarily has to put on. But he looks like a basketball player. He's lean, long, and expect him to come in and push for playing time as a younger guy. I'm not saying as a true freshman, but be in that mix as he goes through the program. From over in Duluth, next on the list is going to be Chris Bridges. It's fun, number one, to steal one out of Duluth's backyard. The last one we had did a pretty dang good job. Last name was, Nemi, if you guys have been around. So Nick Nemi was an all-region, all-American offensive lineman for us. And I think Chris has kind of the DNA to be able to do that as well. But he was named first-team all-conference. He's the lineman of the year. He was all-section. He was on the Duluth News Tribune all-region team or all-area team as well. And, man, he's a lunch pail kid. He's going to and he reminds me of Nemi, I guess, when you get O-linemen from northern Minnesota that are just tough, gritty dudes, and he just reminds me of guys like that, Joe Woods, the Krauses, some of those guys that have been really good ones for us. So really excited about Mr. Bridges coming over, and again, probably an interior body, but has athleticism to move outside, which is kind of a road grader type of dude. Next one on here is from Anoka, that'd be Mason Brent. He was an all-district a player for him. He's a two-time offensive lineman of the year at the high school. Obviously, Anoka went to the state, I believe, semifinals the year before. We have a couple guys that we recruited. We have one on the team from last year's team. But again, very productive. And again, 6'3", 260 pounds, has some position flexibility. So it'd be fun to see where he evolves to. But I think he's going to be a darn good one for us as well. Moving down to southern Minnesota, Brecken is from Pippin High School, which is always interesting. I got a lot of ties down in southern Minnesota in that area, Lake Pippin. I used to have some family friends that had a cabin down there. Spent a lot of my time on Lake Pippin growing up. And his sister, actually, Brecken's sister, went to school here. But Brecken is about 6'3", 300 pounds. He's kind of pre-built. He's an all-state guy, all-conference, obviously, all-district. And just a big physical kid. Again, I think he probably projects interior in college just because of his kind of his frame. But I will see how his feet work out and where he can go if he ends up on the edge as well. So it'd be a fun one for us. So again, he's a happy-go-lucky kid. There's again, I go fishing up in Grand Marais with a group of people from over in the Cohasset area. And lo and behold, his family, extended family, is from, southern Wisconsin and that, southern Minnesota area. Knew their family, some crazy ties. So it's always fun when my fishing trips end up getting some help for recruiting, number one. Maybe I can sell that to Britt to let me go do that more. But we're excited to see where Brecken can get to. Next guy is Brandon Coons. And Coons is from just kind of right down the road as well at Aiken High School. They've done a really good job. They've had always really good teams down there. He was all district selection as a junior and senior, all area as well, team captain, their offensive lineman of the year at the high school. It just goes on and on with him. I know he put down here, which was a big one. You watch his highlight video. They had a throwback to an offensive lineman, so anytime an offensive lineman gets a touchdown, that's going to be in the bio. So that's a cool moment for him. But again, his recruitment was kind of goofy. He wasn't real high on our radar, to be quite honest with you. And we had a member, we were in the basement, and the Student Success Center, they had a a tie with him through a family friend. We popped on the film, and a couple weeks later, we were like, man, this kid's not bad. And he ended up being up for a visit, and maybe one of the shorter recruitments with him in terms of by the time he was on our radar to committing. So, but anyway, Brandon's going to be one that's going to be a fun one for us. A kid that was completely off our radar till the summer would be the next one, Noah Spears. Noah grew up and played the majority of his high school career down in Memphis, Tennessee. Was on a phenomenal team at Memphis University School in Memphis. And actually one of the top schools in the country, and then transfers up or went to school. Obviously, family moved up to Minnesota, up in the Minneapolis area, and didn't end up on a too bad of a team either. Ends up at Maple Grove, a powerhouse in 6A with Coach Spurrell down there. No one really knew about him, to be quite honest with you. So when they came up to team camp, which again appreciate Coach Spurrell coming up, having a great time with us up at our team camp, but when we got eyes on him, this kid, like, he's big, he's physical, he really wasn't on anybody's list. So we were able to kind of get on him. I think he had some FCS offer, you know, interest at that point. But we're excited about this kid, man. Like, he is a good player, obviously an all-region, all-area player for them down at the school in Maple Grove. But we'll see. He can play maybe on the edge. He's bendy, he's athletic. But we're excited about having Noah, an awesome family. Just had a blast with their family when they're up. So we're excited to see where he can get to. Next on the list, the name will be familiar because his brother's on the team. But younger brother, Zach Winkle is going to be joining us from Osakis. Another guy, I think we offered this kid, man, it might have been when he was a freshman or sophomore in high school. He was at our team camp. He looks like they matured quick down there in Osakis because he looked like he was 18 when he was probably 14. But Coach Infiger has done a wonderful job. They have tough freaking kids in Osakis. And I love the way that he comes up. They always come to team camp. Another kid that talks about being on the war on the shore and jumping in the lake. But it's fun to watch those kids. So we expect him to be a center in this class. But again, 6'3", 300-pound-plus kid that moves really well. So, like I mentioned, you can look at the sizes, you can look at the accolades, but that's a really fun group coming from a lot of great schools around the area. And a lot of Minnesota kids on that list, to be quite honest with you, most of them outside of Don and Pepin, which is right on the border. So next on the list is the next guy from Florida, which is going to be Sam Johnson. Sam's recruitment was a weird one. One of my really good friends who works at the University of South Dakota, used to be a college football coach, reached out to me about him, and it was kind of perfect timing. We had been courting a couple quarterbacks that we were in on basically from last fall, and they end up getting some Division I offers. So we lost out, and just by happenstance, it was like me and Coach Hine were going through the boards, and Sam got brought up to us by a guy that was some ties with me. So I appreciate Andy Call for reaching out, and then, it moved pretty quick. So Sam actually, and his dad was his high school coach at Boone High School down in Florida, but they're originally from North Dakota. There's some family ties. The dad grew up and played up here. So they were actually in the Midwest visiting some schools. We missed them, and actually Sam committed sight unseen just because his dad had coached in the NSIC. He was at Northern State, then bounced around and ended up in Texas. But odd story, odd recruitment, but you pop on the film, the kid's a really good player. He has the all-time passing touchdowns record at the high school, all-time total touchdowns, single game passing touchdowns. He's had over 70, I think he had 82 total touchdowns, 72 passing touchdowns, and threw for 5,000 yards plus in high school. And that's a lot. It's impressive, even if it's a different style of, or brand down in Florida. Really high percentage. And as you look at, as we stagger guys through, we had three guys that played last year. Bart ended up playing quite a bit as, going into his third year. It makes a lot of sense, as you go through it, that Sam would be a guy that could come in and push and go and be the next kind of heir pair. But we'll see. We got other guys in the room that obviously do a good job. But again, he's got a lot of the attributes, being a coach's son, just some of the things that you look forward to and you see on film. Next on here, we've recruited a couple Erlinson, but we finally got one. So David Erlinson from Breckenridge, another guy that came to team camp. Coach Yeagy brought those guys up. And I tell you what, Breckenridge, obviously they were state, I think semifinal or runners up this year. I'm going to I think it was their runners up. But Coach Yankee's just got some tough kids. You watch those kids play, you get them on War on the Shore. They're the type of high school kids that, you know, if you had to select one that you're going to go into a back alley brawl with, that would be the team, I think, over there with the Cowboys from Breckenridge. So, fun group of dudes. But, again, he's got a ton of accolades. I think none bigger than being nominated for the Minnesota, you know, Mr. Football. He was the player of the year in that area as well. He was the Class A player of the year. All-state, obviously, the list goes on and on. He had over 2,000 yards rushing. But he's pretty unique in the way that he'll block. He'll do the physicality of the sport that we need to be done here at BSU. So, again, we're excited about having David here. Again, brings a little bit different style of running to us, and we're excited to see what he's going to be able to do. Next guy that's also extremely decorated from a smaller school here in Minnesota is going to be Jackson Barkowitz from Holding Ford High School. Again, Coach Mitchell had a great run. He's also up for Minnesota Mr. Football nominee, which is, again, a pretty high distinguished accolade for these kids. Obviously, the highest if you're able to win the whole thing. But, you know, I could sit here for an hour and talk about his accolades from all his different sports, from his All-State to the All-Star Games, from multiple sports. But watch this film. The kid's going to play a ton of college football for us. He reminds me out of high school of Bryce Duffy, a kid that was kind of Swiss Army knife that played receiver, tight end, same thing with him. You know, Jackson played all over, so it's going to be fun. I think a kid that I would suspect that will push for playing time early in his career just because he's so athletic and just has a unique body type, right, at 6'4", and some change, I'm guessing, in 220, 230 pounds. But he's going to be a fun toy to have, and excited about him joining the team. Next guy on here is a young man from DGF. Coach Schroederberg has done a wonderful job with DGF. Again, they remind me, again, I talked about Osakis, but DGF's a team that I'm sure a lot of high school teams don't like playing. It is smash mouth football. They're physical. They're violent. They play a certain brand. And Nolan Verde is the kid I'm mentioning is a kid that loves it. And again, a lunch pail kid. And I think, you know, for a kid to play O-line, then move to tight end, I think he probably was super excited about doing that, number one. They kind of play a wishbone type of offense. But he's all-section, all-conference, but a kid that we play it a lot of way. We do it the other way, where we recruit some O-linemen to play fullback here, like we did with Birdsall for a year in the national playoff run. But Nolan went the other way in high school, you know, so he's kind of pre-built. We kind of look for that. But he's going to be a fun one, man. Like, we like those guys. We build a lot of fullback tight ends bodies, and I think he's going to be able to do that for us. As we wrap things up with the total amounts, and I'll turn it over to you guys, but the last four are going to be our receiving core, which I think is a really great group of guys in terms of receivers. We really wanted to get some more length in that class. Guys can go up and bend and catch it. We kind of have been a little vertically challenged at that spot a few of these years. Not saying they haven't been productive, but we wanted to get length. The first one on here is Jackson Connor from Verona High School in Wisconsin. Great football program, but he was an all-conference kid, receiver. Also, you know, you look at it, he was a midfielder for lacrosse. He's really a all-conference player for that, but he had, you know, close to 1,000 yards in high school. He had 16 touchdowns. So, again, being 6'4", 200 pounds, be able to stretch things out, just a fun watch, again, as you watch kids' highlights film. Exact same thing I'm going to really say about the next guy, which is Braylon Kelly Taylor from Benilde, St. Margaret's down in the Twin Cities. He's the district receiver of the year. He's an all-conference player, all-district player. He reminds me, I do a lot of comparisons in here, but he's a spitting image of Jake Hill. And Jake Hill was not too shabby. Obviously, he was banged up a little bit. I think he could have been one of the best and still one of the more productive players that we've ever had. But this kid looks like it's pretty effortless when you're going and watching him. And again, he played basketball. He's a good, you know, above the rim type of player. But again, I'm really excited about Braylon and what he's going to be able to do for us. Again, pushing close to, you know, 1,000 yards. He had a bunch of different interceptions and just a great two-way player for him. Real local guy, Ethan Rudd is the next one on here from Bagley. Ethan was, again, an all district player, all section player, had a bunch of yards for him, especially when you talk about, smaller schools sometimes don't get a chuck the ball around as much, but he had almost 600 yards and, 10 touchdowns. He had six interceptions as a safety as well. And the more you watch his film, you're like, hey, this kid's pretty dang good. So we wanted to take an effort at him to get him here, a kid that I thought maybe could play in the secondary as well. But, again, tall, lengthier kid, being 6'2", 170, just fun, again, watching him run around and be local. And last but not least is going to be Samaje Young. I believe he was our first commit, if I go back, or maybe Winkle was, but he was one of the earlier commits. This dude can play. He's grease lightning. He's a twitchy kid. Not very tall. I know we got 5'9", 155 down there. Wink, wink type of deal. I don't think he's probably going to hit 5'9", but he plays the game extremely well. So he was an All-State kid. He was awarded the Adam Thielen Academic Award along the way. Was the offensive player, Robinzell Cooper, who has a ton of talent. So excited about having him. So, again, pretty large group to fill out this class, but after having some pretty large classes go through the last 4 or 5 years, I think this is one that we hit back. And obviously we'll talk about later as we get to spring. We had some other guys at mid-semester add to the team as well. But this was really needed for us. And I think, again, to kind of, get back to the roots of who we are here at Bemidji State. We talk about the grind, the axe, and getting blue-collar kids. I just want tough-ass kids. You can put that in the paper and put on TV too. Like, we need more of them. Parents need to parent their kids to be tougher and handle adversity and do that. And that's when we're really good. So that's, I think, what on this paper is really what this group of kids is about. So with that, I'll turn it over to you if you got any questions.
Reading more into this, not only do you get two guys from Florida, a guy from Texas, but the position that they're playing, not very common.
Yeah. It's a little unique. I wouldn't say we've had a lot of quarterbacks. I would say number one that you go, hey, well, we want a kid from the Sunshine State, or maybe those kids don't want to come up to Northern Minnesota either. But the ties, I think, went a long ways with him. His dad being in the league, knows Bemidji, knows what we're about. But the skill kids, like, you watch film, like, we could recruit every DB from out of the area. Like, there's so much skill when you start looking across, like, Texas and even New Mexico and Florida. It's just, where do you stop and where do you start, And so I think Coach Chev did a really good job. And I mentioned his name a handful of times. He's a really good young coach for us, Chevin Smith. And so with that, I think it goes back to just spending the time to get to know him and get the right families. Because, like I mentioned, like, it turns into a 110, odd family is really the dynamic of college football. So having their parents being able to get them back and forth and help out and buy back into the vision that we have here. So I thought he did a wonderful job. And I think that's why you saw those kids feel like home up here in Northern Minnesota.
You mentioned you're looking for parents and players that are looking for like a 4 or 5 year home. How common is that among recruits, and how did you find those recruits?
Well, I mean, they tell you the right thing when you're recruiting them, right? Like, as you go through it. And I think I got to take a deep breath. Like, college football, I'm not going to get in the whole philosophical, debate about college football. It's broken a little bit right now. Like, they need to fix it. And I'm not the guy sitting here claiming that I got all the answers. But what are we teaching these kids is my point. Like, they're bouncing around. They go to 4 or 5 different schools all the time. I get it up here, maybe some, Division I, they get all this money and stuff, but, like, kids are just, at times just they get fed information that's not true. When you look at the numbers on the portal and how many kids don't play, all that. So you just need to give them the correct information. Like, we want you to stay, and we want you to be happy where you're at. Some kids are just never happy, and they're like, well, what's next, what's next? Then simply go to a junior college or go somewhere else, not Bemidji State. We want you to be happy. We want to win with 4-year guys. Like, yes, we do have to take some 2-year guys or transfers as well. But I've always felt like those transfers have been guys that should have or could have been here out of high school, not just the guys that are running from opportunity to opportunity. So we want this to be a destination. We want you here. And you look back at the teams from 21, 22, 23, 24, there were a lot of dudes that were here for 4, 5, 6 years, Brent Alt, 7 years, whatever, and guys that stayed because they love the program, and more so than loving the program, they love doing it with the guys that were here, and that's the bigger part. So, man, today you got everybody in your ear. You got handlers, you got 7-on-7 coaches, all this stuff. But I think the bigger part is just understand the piece of paper that you're getting, the experience goes a long ways too. So that's really a big part for what we're selling. Yeah, I don't, you know, to answer your question regarding do we take a bigger class with the portal, the answer is probably no. It just forces you to go back in the portal and take, you know, transfers to balance it out. If we can get back, I think the bigger part of why the class is a little bit bigger, I think in college football you're going to see less and less kids playing 5 years. I think kids are going to be done in four. Now we have the 4-game redshirt. Kids are able to come in and play when they're 18 or 19 year old. That wasn't the case. I mean, even 10 years ago, like, kids are training and they're ready to rock physically. Now, mentally is a whole different deal. Like, you got to understand the playbook and be mature enough to take that workload on and travel and do, you know, all the different things related to college athletics and obviously being a good student. But I think kids are just, we've learned that if you get them in a handful of games, all of a sudden you're like, these kids are just as good or better. And then all of a sudden you might have an injury and you just feel like these kids are ready to go. And so I would say that 30 guys, well, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 of them end up in the class in front of them, you know, reclassifying, if you will, into that, you know, sophomore class or junior class ahead of them as they play. So I think that's just my take on it right now, is that that's been a shift. I think more kids are playing when they're young, even though I would love to redshirt everybody. I think just as college football today with kids, I think that's just the movement of it.
How has that changed in recruiting? And it used to be you're looking 3-ish years down the road, but now you're not looking that far. Can your success rate be better?
I think part of it goes back to positional type of things, right? So trenches, I don't think will change. I think O-line and D-line men, they're going to come in and redshirt for the most part. And I think that's good for them because they're going against really grown men. But, I mean, you think about it. Jake Gannon played as a true freshman here for us. Zach Ott played as a true freshman on the offensive lineman or O-line for us. You know, our starting D-N all last year was a true freshman. He was 8. I don't know. He just started shaving, I think, today. I don't know. I mean, he's young. But Joey Funderburk's going to be a great one, you know. But some of it was like we had a bunch of injuries and all of a sudden he had to play. But I think skill kids are skill kids. Like, if you can go run and jump, now, can they block? You know, that's a little bit of the other part. But it certainly has changed. My perspective's changed. I think maybe I'm just more willing to play freshman as well. Before, I'm like, nope, they're not ready. They're going to be better their fifth year. Well, partly is I don't know if they're going to be here in 5 years with the portal and everything else. So I'm like, We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. We better win some freaking games. So if they're part of the best players and can help us win, we get them out there. What else?
Well, with the season last year, is there, for lack of a better word, more excitement coming into spring practice?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be quite honest with you. Yeah, last year was miserable. We were frustrated. And you go back and the woulda, shoulda, coulda is like, I feel like I've watched enough college football and known it. Like, we had 3 games I felt like we gave away. And I felt like another game against a team with the national playoffs that we were every bit as good as, or good as, and had a chance to win in the fourth quarter. I'm like, guys, if you win those 4 games at 8-3 with our strength and schedule, we'd have been playing in the national playoffs last year. Woulda, shoulda, coulda, right? However, we have a ton of talent coming back, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. We got to replace some pretty good old linemen, obviously, but I think we've recruited really well there. But the offseason surely changed last year. Like, I mean, we played till Christmas a couple of years before. We were pretty pointed with this team. Like, we got after it, like, in November, right when the season was done, led in December. Guys, 4:30 this morning, we had competitions rolling in the indoor. We're at it. We started at 5, but the coaches are in there at 4:30. So I need a nap here pretty soon. But it was awesome. These kids have been working their tail off. They know how close they were. I think they're pretty motivated. You can't live on the success of the other teams that were, you know, in the national quarterfinals or Sweet 16 or whatever it's called. Ferris to yell at me for saying Sweet 16, but you know, the round of, you know, the last 16 or the last eight teams left in college football. But there's a ton of talent, but it also shows this league's really good. And then we obviously the fine line of winning and losing. But to answer your question, yeah, I tell you who's motivated is me. Like, we need to get back to doing what we've done for years. We need to be better on the defensive side of the ball. I thought we were very underachieving on that side of it. And I can't even blame one particular thing. We had injuries. We had this. We had that. We just didn't play to our standard. You watch our film. Like, I watch film and go, nope, that's not it, and we need to get better. And so I know Coach Ford and the defensive staff, you know, we just got done watching all the cut-ups again, so it's like really fresh in my mind of going, man, if we had just made one play here and there on that side of the ball, I think we could have made a big step. And offensively, you can say the same thing. The guys, like, we had the ball in possession to win a handful of games too. And so I think there's enough, you know, to go around to really critically look at it. But our kids are excited, man. They're locked in. I think they're pretty, I would say the term would be motivated, in some ways embarrassed about way us not performing last year. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what the preseason rankings and all that stuff are going to be next year, but I guarantee you we're going to put a different product out there and get ready to go. So I'm excited about this group. They've been working really hard. Anything else? All right. I always forget. Thank you guys sitting out here. And then Ferris, our athletic administration, for all they do as well. In particular, I want to go back to our coaches. No one gets how hard this is. Like, we've been recruiting. We do official visits. We have official visits. We have junior days next week. Bring in 27s and 28s. Like, it never ends. And it feels like that probably for our wives and being away from your kids and all that too. So thanks to our staff. Thank to BSU, like the professors that are really involved that help us. Shannon Norman, she's a rock star. She's our FAR, works in the department, does a lot of things for us. Britt, obviously, is our athletic department, our AD. Just the list goes on and on. I want to give a shout out last time to Eric Sand too. He's our trainer, long-term trainer, who retired. So appreciate for all he's able to do as well for us. So, but yeah, next time we'll see you guys. It'll be in the spring, and I'll leak this out here. We'll have on April 18th. We'll have our spring game against Morehead State. So we're going to have a little less travel this year instead of going to Duluth and CSB. So it'll be fun to play the Dragons and a little bit of a scrimmage. But it'll be controlled like we've done in the past, but that'll be down to Chet.